as we get started, you will see that we are going to discuss this beautifully rich topic of prayer. And so as I've been introduced a little bit today, I'll just say a little bit more about myself. I'm a wife. I'm a mom to 1 9-year-old son. I'm a daughter, and I'm a granddaughter. But most of all, I'm a child of God. Sorry. I will cry at least once. It's okay. But I am forgiven by the blood of Christ on Calvary. And although I am not perfect, I am being transformed by the likeness of God, by his sanctification. And so with that, let's take a moment to pray that our moments together would be richly filled with his glory, and that in all we consider here today, he would be honored. Father, who is in heaven, thank you for being the creator and sustainer of all things. Thank you for being set apart, the Holy One. We praise you for your continued counsel and leading through your word. Truly, what a treasure your word is for us. Lord, would you help us this day to take careful focus on the things which you desire us to mature in the faith. Help me to boldly declare this important message today. And Lord, would you cause me to do it well, according to your ways and truth. For I confess, Lord, that I am weak, and without you this message will be nothing. So please, Holy Spirit, convict and guide all that is said here today, and has been prepared beforehand. For this we are grateful, in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right. So, prayer is something that has been near and dear to my heart for many years. And the topic is so vast, ladies, that sometimes I struggle to know how to narrow it down into the time that we have here today. So, as I was preparing, I had many topics come up in my mind. And I just would encourage table hosts that this would be a good time to hand out the sheets that are in your little folder so that we can follow along. You can write notes in there. Most of the little things are the slides that are up there, so it kind of corresponds as we go. So what comes to mind when we think about prayer? Sometimes we think about the struggles in prayer, or what is prayer? What is the greatest joy we have in praying? Should we pray out loud or silently? There's often guilt that surrounds our prayer life. And how often should a person pray? These are all things that come to mind when we think about prayer. So when I was deciding how to narrow down today's topic, I came back to this idea often of the what and the why of prayer. So the what is that prayer is a privilege, and the why is that there is power in prayer. And so that is what we are going to be considering today, and that is why we have the title of The Privilege and the Power of Prayer. So in this first session, we'll be talking about the privilege, or more simply, what is prayer and its basic explanation. And in the second part, we'll be discovering the power that there is in prayer, or the why we need to pray as Christians. And my hope is that if we don't answer your specific question today, or your heart's longing, that you will find in your resources carefully selected books, podcasts, audiobooks, web resources. These have all been chosen to hopefully help and guide you in your journey further in searching out what prayer is and what your longing is in it. And it will require that maybe you do some navigating or searching after today, but I trust that this session will have whet your appetite enough that you'll want to do further research. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And so I hope that today causes you to want to go search more about prayer. I want us to take a moment just to consider the following questions. And I would encourage you to write down on your notes what comes to mind. Can you think of the first time that you prayed silently? Can you think of the first time that you prayed out loud? Or maybe you've never prayed before coming here today. Just take a moment to kind of jot down what your initial thoughts are. Well, my first recollection of praying silently as a child was I have this little wooden sign, and it has this little sheep, white little fuzzy sheep on the side, and it says, "Now I lay me down to sleep." And as a child, I remember having that above my closet door, and I would pray those words that I had learned somewhere along the way that goes like this: "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And although those were great words for me to pray when I was scared or maybe things were uncertain in my life, I'm glad that that's not where my prayer life stopped. Because there is a few doctrinally things that I wouldn't encourage in there. But that is my first recollection of praying silently. I cannot recall the first time I prayed out loud. Maybe some of you can, but I can't. But I do recall that it became an integral part of my prayer life, or my life as a Christian shortly after my faith journey. But I know that praying out loud is a struggle for many people. With my husband's permission, I share this story. When we were first dating, he was asked by a pastor at our table. We were at a meal, and he was asked to say grace. And he just said, in a moment after, he said, "I crumbled under the pressure. The only thing that I could think of was singing Johnny Appleseed. Oh, the Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the appleseed. The Lord is good to me, Johnny Appleseed. Amen." Thankfully, he did not speak those words out loud. He muddled through something else, and honestly, after, I remember thinking, "Oh, goodness." And he said after, he was so relieved to be out of that hot seat. But it made him realize that he had to do something better, not only in his prayer life, but his walk with God as a whole. And it just, like, plunged him into this desire to know more. And I hope that if you ladies are like, "Oh, man, all I can think of is Johnny Appleseed," that you go further after today in your prayer life. So, the what is that it's a privilege. And we're going to dissect this today in 5 different points. And so, all pointing to this main thing, though, the what is that it's a privilege. And so, according to the New City Catechism, which we have in the library, and I tried to use... It's going to feel like redundant because I tried to use as many resources from our own church library as I could, but I did read and listen to lots more that aren't in our church library. But if you see me repeating some of these same things, it's because I tried to use some things that we have in our church library. But anyway, so according to the New City Catechism, what is prayer? The answer is prayer is pouring out our hearts to God in petition, or praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. I like this concise explanation because it breaks down the areas of prayer, the areas that prayer encompasses. The praise can simply be thanking God for who he is. So who do we know him to be? The petition is a request for something desired, especially when it's respectful or humble. Confession of sin, not something we all like to do, especially out loud, is telling God with remorse the fleshly desires that are in us, the things that we despise or struggle with in our lives. And the thanksgiving is just looking for or finding things in our daily life that we are blessed for. I'm going to be moving from lots of scriptures. They are in your notes, so feel free to look back in them. Don't feel you have to flip right now or look up on your phone where we're going. Just keep them for reference later. So having praise, we see this in Hebrews 13:6. So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" This verse simply explains to whom our praise belongs and to whom the glory of all things belongs. The Lord, with an attitude of praise towards him, in our perspective, it properly aligns where our prayers should be directed, because then we're giving him all the praise and all the glory. The next is this idea of petition. So what's a petition? Luke 11:9-10 says, "And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened to." This all points to the privilege that prayer is, ladies, and that it must be in accordance to his will. This is the key element to prayer, especially when it comes to our petitions and our requests, because God isn't a genie in the bottle desiring to grant us all of our wishes or our desires, but only those that are correctly in aligned with his will. James 4:2-3 says, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot attain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You do not ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. You spend it on your own passions." Asking God to give us this correct perspective or correct desire in your prayer will help you greatly in this area of petition. Next, we look at the confession of sin. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. What a beautiful promise to cling to when we're feeling the guilt or condemnation or pain of the sin in our lives. Hebrews 11:1 for thanksgiving says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Thanksgiving draws out this idea of hope that we have in Christ, that we might not waver because of the things of this world. It doesn't take long when we look up to Christ and his redeeming work on the cross to find peace and much to be grateful for. And I was thinking about this, if this is hard for you to find things to be thankful for, something that I like to do is just think of the things that are common grace to us, like the air that we breathe. If we want to go more deeper, we can maybe think of like the saving work that Christ did for us and the peace that comes with that. But ladies, there is so much to be thankful for. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and steadfast love endures forever." Being thankful in my prayers and my petitions is often what comes easiest in my prayer life. It's easy to be thankful for things, but to actually spend some time acknowledging who God is or confessing my sins is often an afterthought. And maybe there's one of these areas that is a little bit challenging for you as well. This is a quote from Wayne Grudem, and it says, It's one of the ways that God allows his creation to stay involved with him through prayer. Prayer, which is personal communication from us to God, not only helps us to know about God, but also helps us to truly know God. Through prayer, we can communicate our requests to God, confess our sins to God, and give adoration and praise and thanksgiving. Notice that this statement about prayer is about being involved with God. And ladies, to be involved with God is a great privilege. The other aspect that I love about this definition of what prayer is, that it's truly knowing God. Ladies, those that believe in Christ as their Savior, we must see it as a privilege to not just want to know about God, but rather to know him intimately. And what a privilege that God wants that for us as well. So let's take a moment to think of this. What are the ways that you ladies communicate in a day? Show of hands, maybe. I don't tweet, but if you tweet, nobody tweets. Okay. Does anyone text? I text a lot in a day. I send a lot of emails in which my son is always like, Does anyone Instagram? Okay. But we tend to communicate in these short little blips. Right? That's the easy way for us to communicate. And as I was thinking about prayer, we tend to transform the way that we communicate into the way that we communicate with God. And although there is nothing inherently wrong with this, and perhaps I hope that I'm not the only one, but I often pray short, simple things. Okay, I'm good, I'm done, I prayed for that person. But perhaps, even though our prayers are supposed to be simple, should it go deeper and be richer than sending an email or a text message or a message on Instagram? If we really want to know God deeply, then our prayers need to be more than a quick message sent or a chore that we check off our list. Rather, seeing it as a longing to communicate with the Most Holy God. When I was preparing for this message, I was convicted in my preparation of this study that I don't necessarily spend specific times. Now let me clarify that, set apart times in prayer with God. This is how my prayer day goes. I pray before I get up in the morning. I pray over meals. I pray before I go to bed. And I pray scattered throughout the day. And maybe that's similar for you ladies. But when I was preparing for this, I was convicted that I don't set a specific time apart for God. Each night, I try to complete as many tasks as I can so that I can spend about an hour with my husband before we both head to bed. And I cherish setting aside other tasks that can wait till tomorrow or trying to finish them up quickly, so that I can spend that specific time with him. But I don't necessarily do that with God. I have since I prepared this, but you know what I mean, right? So that is something we should cherish and long for more, is setting a specific time apart, because it's a privilege to be in the presence of the Most Holy God. I want us to think about and jot down what you desire more of in prayer. I've just shared a little bit about what I desire more in prayer, but I want you ladies to jot down what it is for you. Maybe it's more time set apart. Maybe it's being able to freely pray with the correct desires. Maybe it's being able to pray out loud confidently. Maybe it's one of these specific things that we've mentioned in the first point of prayer, praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. I just want you to take a moment to write down what you would desire more of in prayer. The reason I had you take a moment to write that down is because I want you to be able to revisit that thought when you leave here today. It's really good for you all to be here today and think about these things, but if we don't go any further after today, then really, it's been in vain. I want you to be able to take what we've talked about here today and put some of these things into practice. So in jotting that down, I hope that you can go back through your notes after and think, yeah, let's work on some of those things. In order to be in right or good communication with God, we must look at what is pleasing and displeasing in our communication with him. Psalm 66, verses 18 to 20 says, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have been satisfied, or would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended my voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me." This ties into that part of confession of sins and having a correct perspective of who God is. Acknowledging him for who he is, the creator and sustainer of all things. Proverbs 15:29 says, "For the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of a righteous." All of these things point to directing us to communicate with God, because prayer is a privilege, and because it allows us to communicate with God. So what is prayer number three? Prayer is life to a Christian. It's been said that the life of a Christian should see prayer as necessary as breathing is for our lives. Can't exist without breathing, right? So take a moment to consider that in light of prayer being a privilege. If air is no longer going into our bodies, what happens?
We die.
We die. We cease to exist. We can no longer sustain life if we are not breathing air. According to the Medical Encyclopedia, permanent brain damage begins only 4 minutes after not having oxygen, and death can occur as soon as 4 to 6 minutes later. So, if we take that and look at that in terms of our Christian life and its existence, what does that say to us, ladies? It says that prayer is very important. It says that if we aren't thriving and growing in our prayer life, in our walk with Christ, with our walk with God, that we're damaged. There's damage in our walk with him if we are not incorporating that desire to communicate with him. I really liked this point because it kind of hit for me how important prayer is. If we don't pray, there's something going on in our heart. And so I would encourage you to just think about that further. After giving the Ten Commandments to Moses, the Lord also gave this response to the people. "You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk all the way the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess." Pray. Prayer to the Christian is like breathing. Therefore, walk closely with God. So what is prayer number four? Prayer is an attitude. Our attitude can be a stumbling block, or our prayer life can be a helpful asset. What is it for you, ladies? It's very quiet in here, which is probably weird just because we don't have a bunch of kids here today, but it seems super quiet. So what is prayer for you guys, ladies? Show of hands. But and don't feel embarrassed, but like, is prayer a stumbling block for us sometimes? Yeah. And sometimes for me it's a helpful asset. It can be both. George Hebert, I liked this quote. It said, "O thou who has given us so much, mercifully grant us one thing more, a grateful heart." When our heart attitude is grateful, then we see prayer and enjoy prayer as a great privilege. When our heart is grateful, we can say with Habakkuk, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." When we can concern ourselves with the type of prayers we give, we can concern ourselves with the words that we speak in prayer more than the prayer itself. This quote from R.T. Kendall said, "Don't worry about praying small things. Everything is small to God." This kind of puts things into perspective for us when we concern ourselves over the type of prayer we should be praying. We can sometimes think, "Oh, I don't want to bother God with that," or "Is that really a big deal?" Then that's a heart attitude that we think we can handle it or that we can deal with it. But it's an incorrect view of who God is. The heart of the matter is that we can't make excuses for not praying. Have any of you heard of Hudson Taylor before? Some of you? This was Howard Taylor speaking of his father, and he said, "For 40 years, the sun never rose on China that he wasn't on his knees praying." And the first time I read Hudson Taylor's biography, I was ashamed, honestly, of my prayer life. This man had an incredible burden to pray, but also like a deep desire for the lost. And his attitude was in correct alignment. He saw prayer as a privilege. And if you've never heard of him, I would encourage you to read about his life. We actually have some resources in the library as well. But the first time I read about his life, I was just like, "Man, I am too weak to get up that early to pray for that long." But he just loved praying. He loved communing with God. We can see this correct alignment or this correct attitude in scriptures such as Psalm 115, verse 1. "Not us, O Lord, not us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." And we know Psalm 23, a lot of us, and I'm going to read some of these verses, but when I think of it, it's like a submission in prayer. It's a bowing before the Most Holy God. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." It's an idea of bowing before the Most Holy God, being in correct alignment in our prayers. Prayer is an attitude of surrender. Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. And that's from E. Stanley Jones. The attitude of prayer is like considering the fact that nobody is watching or listening, which is hard for us ladies to not... I think of like my to-do list when I am trying to pray. Oh, I need to do dishes and I need to get groceries and I need to do, and my son is calling me, and but trying to like focus in. What a sweet moment that is when we can have those moments when nothing else around us is clouding our vision, but looking sweetly at the most holy God. Which brings us to the desire to pray God's will. Seeking the will of God. Martin Luther said, we are instructing ourselves and not God in our prayers. Prayer isn't trying to get God to see what our desires are, but the opposite. So how do we seek the will of God? How do we know who God is? In order to know his will, we need to know who he is. We need to be reading his word, then. We need to be asking the Holy Spirit to make these things clear to us. Ladies, I've never found a time in his word, no matter how convicting, no matter how sword-piercing it was, I've never found a time in his word to be a waste of time, but rather a great blessing and a great privilege. Because it sanctifies me and aligns me to his will. 1 John 5:13 to 15 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked him. We likely know what prayer isn't. We aren't demanding God to do things. Rather, it's thinking in terms of what his will is. And so I wanted to give you an example. This is kind of what came to mind. We wouldn't have a casual conversation with God. Okay, let's take weather, for instance. We wouldn't say, hey, God, it's sure hot out there today, or geez, it's raining out. I sure hope it doesn't flood. No, we wouldn't talk to God like that. Or when I was thinking about how to dress today, I wouldn't say, okay, Lord, do you like this dress? Does it look good on me? Is it the right color? No, we wouldn't speak to God like that. But rather, we might say, it's raining out there, Lord. We thank you for the rain. Lord, make it just be just the right amount that is needed. Help us to be comfortable with the weather that you give us. And same with clothing. I wouldn't talk to God like that, but I may ask him, okay, Lord, help me to dress appropriately, that it might not cause someone to stumble. We need to correctly align ourselves so that we're not just having a casual conversation with God. Which brings us to the idea of, is there a wrong way to pray? I don't know if any of you are comfortable, but do you think there's a wrong way to pray? Put up your hand if you think there's a wrong way to pray. Oh, good, I'm not the only one. Because a lot of times I think we have this idea that any prayer is fine, it's all good. God hears all prayers and it doesn't matter how we pray. But I would graciously disagree with that. We need to have a correct way in which we pray. And I don't want to go down a rabbit hole or an anthill here, but if you follow with me, I'll explain why I think there is a wrong way to pray. Matthew 6, 5 to 8 says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they might be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Here in Matthew, we see this, don't do this, which means that there is a way not to pray. So think about what you're saying. Don't let it just be some repetitious thing that you aren't thinking about. Again, it's a matter of the heart, but prayer is a privilege. Proverbs 10:19 tells us, do not be rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. This is putting that proper alignment of your relationship between the most holy God and me, the unrighteous sinner. When we aren't praying God's will, then we're praying out of selfish ambition. And therefore, it's wrong. And that's why when praying the disciples' prayer and other scriptures, we are aligning ourselves with the Lord. And therefore, we have this correct or right mindset in prayer. And what a privilege to be in the correct attitude with God. One thing then that we might ask is, what do we pray? Have you ever thought that, ladies? What do I pray? I don't want to do it wrong. I don't want to stress over this. But can I encourage you that prayer was never meant to be a stumbling block? It was always meant to be this beautiful adornment that Christ has for us. And if that's a struggle for you, I don't want to stress over prayer, or praying is just hard for me, then I want to encourage you, ladies, not to let it be a stumbling block. Come to him, asking him to guide your thoughts. And remember that he is faithful to humble us. I just want to see what time we're at here. Oh, I still got lots of time, right? Okay. So I want to just go over each of these points here quickly, again, just to cover them so we have them clear in our minds. So what is prayer, number one? Prayer is a pouring out of our hearts to God in praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. Please think of prayer as the pouring out of our hearts to God. When the cup is full, it doesn't matter. It can overflow. It's a good place to have spilt milk. What is prayer number two? It's one of the ways that God allows his creation to stay involved with him through prayer. Prayer, which is that personal communication from us to God, not only helps us to know about God, but also helps us to truly know God. Through prayer, we can communicate our requests to God, confess our sins to God, and give adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. Because we're focusing on prayer today, it's one of the ways in which we are involved with God. But it doesn't take long to think of other ways. What other ways, ladies, do we spend time with God? Wilhelmina?
Reading his word.
Reading his word. Anything else?
Helping others.
Fellowshipping with his body.
Fellowshipping with his body.
Singing.
Singing. All of these are like forms of worship, right? Another thing that came to mind that I like doing, listening to sermons throughout the week from solid biblical teachers. It aligns us properly with God. It helps us to focus on who God is so that we can not just know about him, but know who he is. In prayer, he has given us this unique way of communicating with him. And it's such a privilege. What is prayer? Prayer is life to a Christian. It's like breathing. It's essential for a deep relationship with God the Father. In a relationship, there must be communication. Can you ladies think of a relationship that you find it really awkward or hard to talk to that person? I have some that I'm like, what am I going to say? Or really hope that goes okay. And sometimes I'll even pray, help me to think of things to say because they're just awkward. Or you know that there is something going on there that's a stumbling block. But that should not be with our communication with God. Praying should be like breathing for us as Christians. Prayer is an attitude, and our attitude can be a great stumbling block, or our prayer life can be a helpful asset. This is something helpful to consider if we do have struggles in our prayer life. Most often, if there is a hesitation to pray in our lives, it's probably a matter of the heart that we need to deal with. When I struggle to pray, I cannot think of a time that it wasn't a sin in my life that I needed to work on, and that the Lord was graciously helping me through. Just sharing from the heart here, there have been times when our Wednesday prayer meeting comes along, and I like to jump online, but a day will be trying or hard, or I've had to do a lot of parenting, and ladies that know what parenting is like know what that means, like, and it's just like, I am not going, because my heart is not in the right attitude, or I'm struggling with being discouraged, and so then I worry about if I'm going to say the right prayer or the right thing. But that should not be our desire in praying. We should see it as a privilege always. But it's not always that. And so then we need to seek the will of God if that is our struggle. Seeking the actions of God and seeking him and what his will would be. To be aligned with the will of God and what his actions and desires are is a delightful and beautiful place to be. It's an error to think that God changes to accommodate my fleshly desires. More importantly, it's better to attune to the will of God, for who wouldn't want to be more in tune with the most supremely majestic, sovereign ruler of the universe? Because I definitely pale in comparison to that. There's this idea Jonathan Edwards had, and he brought forth this idea, which kind of stuck in my mind. If we find prayer a struggle, perhaps think of it in terms like this. Satan has no desire for us to pray. He doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to love God. And neither would Satan want us to be concerned with the things of God. And so to know how we're supposed to pray is to put aside all of that and think about who God is and what his will is for our lives. Warren Wiersbe said, "Prayer is asking God to use us to accomplish what he wants so that his name may be glorified." All right, I have a little bit more time, and so I'm going to just, there was a few more thoughts that I had in this first session that if we had time, I was going to bring about. And so since we do have a little more time, I'm going to bring them about. I hope if you need to stand or like do a little dance, it's all good. It's really quiet in here and not what I'm used to. Okay. So, I wonder, because I've been there, If there are a few wives here thinking, I wish my husband would lead more in prayer. Is there any that, I don't want you to show hands, but hopefully there is, and I'm not just speaking to myself here. But ladies, if this is you, please don't despair. There is hope, okay? When Blake and I were first courting, like I mentioned earlier about his prayer life and singing Johnny Appleseed, praying out loud was unthinkable for him, okay? And I longed, perhaps I was a little bit further in my walk at that time, for him to pray out loud. I longed for him to lead in lots of areas, but in prayer especially. And I remember initially thinking, just wish he would pray more or have a desire or even think of it, really? Like, we're going to eat. Why wouldn't he think to pray before this meal? But I quickly, the Lord probably pricked my heart and said, that's not going to get you anywhere. So instead, I would, before a meal, just say, can we pray? And he would say, sure. But he wouldn't say anything. He would just let me pray. But he was glad to listen. Or if we were heading out on a trip, in our early courting days, we just did a lot of like little day trips. And I would just simply say, Father, keep us safe when traveling. And he would just, yeah, something like that. But for me, it just slowly helped us to get to a place where I didn't have to ask anymore. I can't think of a time that it actually changed, but just that gentle nudging, encouraging, or even saying, like, I'm going through a hard day. Would you mind praying for me? That we dated a lot over, that was a long time ago, MSN Messenger, before texting was cool. And so he would, you know, send a message over that and just pray for me, I'm having a rough day. And slowly I could see it turning around so that I didn't have to ask anymore. It was a natural inclination for him. And so, ladies, if this is you and you think, I wish my husband would pray more, I wish my husband would lead in prayer, pray for him that this would be a desire and that you would slowly encourage him, gently encourage him to pray. Even just two or three words, and I have hope that it will be an encouragement for you. And that kind of leads us to the other part of praying for our children. And praying out loud with our children, modeling and encouraging that for them. We have this most beautiful opportunity when we are leading our children to see their need for a Savior. I know that this has been discussed a little bit in Sunday school, if some of you have been in adult Sunday school, but, and if you haven't, you can listen to them. They're on the website. But it's very important for us to model and show our children this right attitude before God. I'll just share with you what we do at our house, and maybe it'll be an encouragement for you, but we have now started just saying, how can I pray for you, Joshua? That's my son's name. And he will usually say that I have a good sleep and I'll have a good day tomorrow. Okay. But now we have him asking us, Mom, how can I pray for you? Dad, how can I pray for you? Well, that I would honor the Lord, that I would know how to best parent you, that I would be gracious. Or honestly, even when I'm struggling with something, I will say, can you please pray and help me through this? It shows them and models to them our heart's desire and our desire towards God to do his will. So don't be discouraged if praying out loud is hard for you or praying out loud with your kids. We're going to talk a little bit more in that second session about what praying looks like. And there's going to be a little bit more about praying through scriptures as we go on this morning. But I want to encourage you to model praying in your households. It will lavishly build your desire and your walk with God. So if you wouldn't mind just closing, we'll close this time in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, what a privilege to come to you in prayer. Thank you that we can address you as Father, the supreme and sovereign ruler of all things. Lord, would you guard our hearts and minds that we might retain this information that you've given us here today. And Lord, we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.